In Psalm 84, we read, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." And then they go from strength to strength, that is, from one strength to the next strength. And so, as we look at the gates of Jerusalem and what they may represent figuratively, we move on from gate to gate. We know there are times in our lives when we have to move on. It may be in the passage of our daily lives or in our Christian pilgrimage, but staying where we are is not an option. For example, we have been reminded in the Bible studies in the book of Ruth. You remember that Ruth and Naomi arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There was a time of gleaning and the provision of food to be had, but the time of barley and wheat harvest came to an end. The fields are empty. The harvest gathered. Staying in their current situation was not an option. A further supply of food had to be found, and there had to be a moving on, as it were, from strength to strength. Now, the sheep gate, which we considered last time, has been a fresh and a blessed time in the life of a believer. But he cannot stay there. He has to move on. And from the sheep gate to the fish gate should be a natural progression in our Christian life, in that after seeing that Jesus died for our sins and we have been forgiven, we would then want to tell others about it. The fish gate, then, represents our witness, the church reaching out to the world. And at this gate, we are sent not only to serve, but also to feed, as Jesus fed the hungry crowds with bread and fish. So we are to serve all and share with all. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 3, we read that the fish gate was built by the sons of one man named Hasenah, so they were brothers. It was a family of brothers working together in the Lord's work. This gate then was built by brothers. They set up its beams and hung its doors with its bars and bolts. So unlike the sheep gate, the focus here was on security. We notice that this gate was also rebuilt because of its total destruction. Our enemy does not want a place like the sheep gate where there's access to God, or the fish gate with anyone going out and evangelizing. So these two gates, they were totally destroyed and had to be rebuilt. And this fish gate had been one of the main entrances into Jerusalem. Through this gate, the fishermen of Galilee would bring their catches to the fish markets in that area. It reminds us of the disciple brothers, Andrew and Peter, James and John, whom Jesus said he would make to be fishers of men, as we read in Matthew chapter 4. It may also explain in John chapter 18, why the Apostle John was known to the high priest. We read there that, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, but now that disciple was known to the high priest." So how would a common fisherman from Galilee be known to the high priest in Jerusalem, other than through his fishing business? His family business probably supplied the fish to the priest's quarters. And so, as the fish gate is symbolic of food, so we are to feed upon the word to gain wisdom and discernment. Fish is a provision of food, and we certainly need to grow and to learn the art of fishing for men, because not all fish is good. Some fish has to be thrown away. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to a great net cast into the sea. Then when it was pulled to the shore, it had to be sorted because not every fish caught was good to eat. Some had to be thrown out. And in the law, in Deuteronomy, we can read that only fish with scales and fins were allowed to be eaten. And so understanding that there are bad fish is a part of the art of fishing. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, the creation account, we read that fish were abundant. They multiplied and they filled the seas. And it'd be good just to keep this reference in mind, as we shall find there is a connection with the verses in chapter 48, which we read. Fish are often referred to as a suitable food. Twice when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, fish is mentioned as food. On one occasion in the last chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus cooked some fish on the beach while his disciples had gone fishing. And on an earlier occasion, after meeting two of his disciples on the Emmaus Road, he appeared to his disciples again, and he was given a piece of cooked fish to eat. But primarily, fish, because they multiply abundantly, are related to evangelism. And as the fish gate is symbolic of it, we will look mainly now at this particular aspect of it, representing evangelism. We read in Matthew chapter 4 of Jesus calling the first disciples, who were fishermen, going about their daily business. In fact, that call was actually a command. And so often God speaks in commands, if we could but see it. But why would these disciples drop everything immediately and follow after Jesus? Well, we shall see presently that they completely understood who he was and what he was saying to them. But the Gospel of Matthew emphasizes a lot how Jesus fulfilled various Old Testament prophecies. We often come across the word fulfilled in Matthew's Gospel. And in this passage, relating to Jesus calling brothers, he is also telling how another Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled. And it was the prophecy that we read in Genesis chapter 8, particularly verses 15 and 16. If you turn to that, we will look at it for a while to see how it ties in alongside these verses in Matthew chapter 4. Now, this passage in Genesis chapter 15 and 16 was very well known to the Israelite nation. It was known as the blessing of Messiah, and it is still very well known today amongst Orthodox Jews. We know that children like to put pictures and verses on their walls, and it's one of those verses that children would put on the walls of their room because it contained the dying blessing of their ancestor Jacob, who was blessing his grandchildren, brothers, the sons of Joseph, and they desired that blessing. And this scripture then would also have been very well known and understood by those fishermen disciples that Jesus called. Unfortunately for us, it is one of those scriptures that are said to have been lost in translation because of the great difficulty in accurately conveying the original meaning, which has a reference to fish. The end of verse 16 in the New King James says, "Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." The margin in my AV refers to a multitude of fish in the midst of the earth. But fish live in water, not on the earth, especially the midst of the earth. So you can see the difficulty in conveying a correct meaning in translation. And where is the midst of the earth? Well, actually, we could say it's the fish gate, because along with the other gates that surround Jerusalem, and we understand that Jerusalem is in the midst of the earth. And we believe this because God himself says in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5, thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. So it is where God says it is. Geographically, spiritually, and prophetically, Jerusalem is considered to be the center of the earth. Geographically, it is the central point where the great continents of Africa, Europe and Asia meet. It contains what is has been called the King's Highway because of this central location. It was the highway where traders between the different continents had to pass. They had three choices. They could cross the Mediterranean to get to Africa and Egypt and those countries with all the perils of the sea. They could bypass the King's Highway and go through the Arabian Desert with all its dangers, or they could just pay up their taxes and use the King's Highway. And this is one of the reasons why Solomon grew so immensely wealthy. He taxed the traders in and he taxed the traders out, and he had a complete monopoly of this central point, which everyone needed to pass through if they needed to get from one continent to the other. You remember that the Philistines had been their main enemy, and his father David had conquered them and all the nations surrounding them, so that Solomon had peace and the ability to control this route. And I mean, the Philistines themselves were not exactly a warmongering nation, but they were Phoenician traders who had settled on the Israel coast, the Mediterranean coast, and their desire was to control this highway and so drive out the people of Israel so that they had the wealth that came from it. But having said that, later on the Romans would build their roads going out from this Middle Eastern crossroads. The hub and the town which all passed through in the Roman times was Capernaum, the place where the Messiah was said to come and to minister. And also, of course, those places, there was plenty of trade for publicans and sinners. I believe it's Matthew himself who was called at the tax booth. And of course, it was the perfect place for the going out of the gospel to all nations. In the end of Luke chapter 24, we read of Jesus blessing his disciples from verse 46 to 49. But he says, and that Jesus said to his disciples, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. And where? Beginning at Jerusalem, the midst of the earth. And so there was a connection then in this prophecy between fish and the coming and the place of the promised Messiah. Now, referring back to Genesis, these verses, in blessing those brothers, Jacob, in blessing his grandsons, he refers to the angel that redeemed him, that is, or the messenger, that or one that is sent to redeem, and only the Messiah is able to redeem. And he says, let my name be named on them. That's including also his fathers, Abraham and Isaac, which refers to God's covenant to Abraham, that he would multiply exceedingly and become a father of many nations. He says, bless the lads, these brothers, and their descendants, that they may be those that fulfill this promise of Abraham, and multiply exceedingly like fish in the midst of the earth, and ultimately beginning at Jerusalem. And so, coming back to his call of the disciples, when he said, I will make you fishers of men, they understood, because of this prophecy and their earlier encounter along by John the Baptist, they understood exactly who he was and what he was saying. He was revealing himself as the Messiah to them in the exact location the Messiah prophesied to reveal himself. And he did this not once, but twice. After calling Andrew and Peter, who immediately left everything and followed him, we read that then going on from there, he saw, what, two other brothers, James and John. He calls them, and they also immediately followed him. Now, this is a deliberate repetition in Scripture. When Scripture is repeated, it is repeated for the purpose of emphasis. For example, we often read of Jesus saying, verily, verily, or most assuredly, I say to you. Or we read in the Revelation, in the Isaiah, holy, holy, holy. There is always a heavier emphasis on the second and the third repetition. And interestingly also, the word behold has an emphasis. When we read the word behold, it's going to tell us something about God. So there's always an emphasis there. But John the Baptist had already pointed out these disciples, pointed to them to Jesus as the Messiah, borrowing that expression, the Lamb of God, and saying, behold, the Lamb of God. And they understood Jesus, when he called them from their fishing, that he was calling them to participate in the work of Messiah. You remember in the first chapter of John, when we're looking at the sheep gate, that those disciples said, we have found him, we have found the Messiah, he's come in our day. And so they understood who he was and what it was he was saying to them. And this is still the call today. A disciple, first and foremost, is someone who follows after Jesus and does what Jesus said. And so, to just tie up a little, the fish gate was rebuilt by brothers. Jacob is blessing two brothers. Jesus sees and calls two brothers. And he calls his disciples to go out into all the world, beginning at Jerusalem and going out through the fish gate, along the highways into Asia, Europe and Africa, and onward to all the corners of the earth, preaching the gospel to every creature until it is full, like the sea, with fish and the messianic blessing of Jacob is fulfilled. And one of those disciples, those fisherman disciples, John, he saw that promise fulfilled in his vision in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great number, which no man can number. They have multiplied so much, a great number which no man can number, of all nations, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and the Lamb. And the Lamb, as we considered last time, was their personal sacrifice. Now, there are many more references you may look up, referring to fish and the midst of the earth, and God being in the midst of his people, because we read that God says Jerusalem is in the midst of the earth, and we read that God is in the midst of there, and God is in the midst of his people. But I have to condense my remarks down for the purpose of time and not overloading you with information. So as we come to a close, we notice that it was a real world that they went out into, not a virtual one. A real world, as Paul records, of opposition, beatings, stonings, shipwreck, imprisonment, deprivation, as they went without the camp bearing his reproach. Now, in these days, with technology, there's new ways continually appearing of how we can get people in. We can even use virtual online nets. But then, what's right for this generation won't be new and right for the next generation. And then the older generation will want to go back to the good old days, when the nets were perfectly okay. But new things don't stay new. And there comes an understanding at some point that evangelism is not about persuading people to make a decision, or getting them to come to our church, or proving that God exists, or other such things. Some of these things may be good in their place, but evangelism is more of getting alongside people, as the church has done through the ages, carrying the evangel and declaring on the authority of God what he has done to save sinners, to warn men of their lost condition, to direct them to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we go on from strength to strength, as it were, and as we move on, so we have to be established in the fundamentals. And now we have to move on and go a little further to the old gate, which we will do in January, God willing.